Previously on Bad Radio.
What is a noted regional comic anyway? Do they only
noted
make
regional
jokes?
Comic Dave Little.
What, all right. He demands
what man?
The deal with Coppell.
Is it 6:35 or is it LBJ?
So what's all gone, huh?
Is that what
you
it shows
got anybody
like?
Here tonight from Blue Mound?
I-35 West runs north and south. What's the deal?
Why is it called W?
Oh, so I got on this bus and I headed down toward Waxahachie, you know?
Yes!
Next thing I know, I see Ennis.
Sorry about today. We were going to have the two virgins, but they got laid over in Fort Worth.
He knows every city.
He does live here.
There is no greater reward for a basketball player or a team than winning. If you want to provide your dog with the best reward possible, you'll get Sargent's Steakhouse Treats. Sargent's Steakhouse Treats are made from real beef. They're soft and chewy for young dogs and old dogs just like me. It's the best reward you can give your dog, Sargent's Steakhouse Treats.
That was the last we saw of them.
Yeah, I wonder why.
Yeah.
And that's good.
Probably so.
Dan doesn't know.
What did Dan not like about it?
He thought all of it was extremely unfunny. He thought there were no redeeming qualities whatsoever from the songs that they played, from the banter that they had in between songs, from the videos that they played. He thought none of it had any redeeming comedic value, which...
A lot of people say that about Bad Radio, though.
Yeah, here's my problem with them. If he's on a show, it's sports and comedy... And he's not the sports guy, and he's not the black guy, then he should know comedy.
Right.
And apparently he doesn't.
Yeah. You know what?
This is Nelson Cruz of the Generals, and I never listen to Bad Radio on a sport. 1310, the tickets.
Thanks, man. That's perfect. I really appreciate it.
We're live and ready for the big event. Over 1 billion people are tuning in all over the world.
I think doorknobs was the last great invention in America.
Right about now, Sports Radio 1310 The Ticket presents the Bob and Dan Radio Podcast. This week, we determine what's so great about this game, go into the brain of Aggie, and complain of rain. Also Thor, Tom Flakeboy Gribble, Seabass, and your man Donnie Dew. And now... Two guys who thought podcasting had something to do with whales, Bob Sturm and Dan McDowell.
Yeah. Hell yeah, bitches!
Welcome, P1. I think on this podcast we'll dive straight into the self-promotion. Nothing would please me more than if you would search 1310 The Ticket Great Game Practice on YouTube. If you do that, you'll find a video shot and produced by our wonderful engineer, Eric Hood, and it's of me asking questions to the participants of the upcoming Great Game. It'll be played on May 14th. And while I'm only asking you this because the page views inflate my ego, there is the ancillary benefit of the video entertaining you. So I'm asking you for my reasons, but you can go there for yours. We're going to start off the Bob and Dan portion with a bang. Here's another fine example of the show at its best. And I think that you will have noticed that there's several similar segments in previous podcasts, and that's not a mistake. Those segments, and this one too, are built around funny audio, and that audio sparks a free-flowing conversation that occasionally touches on mature subjects. And I think that those sorts of conversations are really the high point of what this show gets to and what it can do. And so to bring you... this wonderful high, Bob Sturm.
Oh, no.
I'll sweep it up. But I can't now. I got to leave it laying there for 15 minutes. So somebody else has to do it. I just dropped my...
We get a Stockman to aisle 7.
We're at Classic Chevrolet. And... just finished my wonderful bean burger from Chili's.
And then spiked it on the floor like he scored a touchdown.
Well, on the one side of the big styrofoam thing, I had the bean burger, so it was kind of holding it down.
A counterweight.
Then on the other side, it's filled with broccoli. Well, when the bean burger's done, the broccoli side started to tip and now is all over the beautiful showroom floor here at Classic Chevrolet. So if you would like to see the...
See, did you watch the Build It Bigger episode on the new Cowboys Stadium?
I'm working my way through it. It kind of sucks, but
with,
go ahead.
With the cranes, how they...
Oh, yeah, how they held up.
They raised the, what, the metal trusses? Anyone?
There's got to be a broom back there,
the
dude.
The steel things that go over the
top? Okay, thanks. I don't want you to wipe up the floor
I think
for me.
They're called...
But if you do it...
Go with steel things.
Trusses.
Steel things.
Anyway.
Kosas.
The cranes have... Yes. Kosas and
Thrasantes. Now you understand. I'm so...
So
sorry.
They have a huge counterweight just sort of hanging in midair there to make sure the crane doesn't tip over when it lifts these gigantic pieces of steel. So... Tons and tons and tons are just hanging there purely to keep the crane from tipping over because that would be very bad. And that's kind of the concept you just demonstrated there in your lab with your broccoli and your styrofoam.
But very much smaller
than
the Cowboys Stadium.
We certainly don't have the room to do that type of an experiment.
Or stadium. Hey, here's a just conversational point I want to make. Keep your radio on the ticket every weekday at 7:35, 10:35. Noon 35 and 5:35. Listen for the letter clue given each time, and at the end of the day, unscramble the word and text it to 44939 and be part of our Stars Fantasy Scramble grand prize drawing. What? Why do you look at me?
You sound a little gassy.
Careful. I was fighting it off. Only one entry per day, so don't guess. Listen, text, and win. Check out theticket.com for everything you can win.
Medic.
Do you feel that was conversational?
Loved it.
How are we feeling about baseball practice today? Because in Grapevine, right now is a slow, steady drizzle that would be unplayable conditions for sure.
Baseball practice is on.
The commissioner has said it's on. Everything's fine.
At Miggs Park.
It's not Miggs.
It's not?
It's Greg Field.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Greg Fields.
I was way off.
Or is it Griggs Park? What is it really supposed to be called? Well,
Griggs who cares? Fields.
No way to know.
Judging on the Nolan Ryan-like statue of Greg Fields in center field, I'm pretty sure it's Greg Fields.
You know what I might do for the comedy of our lives to make ourselves laugh? I might just guilt you into going.
And then not show up?
And then I don't go myself because...
I'd be bitter.
Dude, look at this rain.
It is raining. A substantial...
And they get a little... I understand the Metroplex is kind of all the same right now. It's all gray and dreary and 80% chance of this stuff. And if Miggs Field is all sloppy, like,
you know,
I anticipate.
So sloppy.
I mean, but Cat's been out there. The commissioner's out there and says the field is playable.
Yes.
Of course, he doesn't have to play on it.
Doesn't rain go west to east, though, and isn't Grapevine west of Dallas?
Don't worry about that, Bob.
Okay.
Did you just make that up? Doesn't rain go west to east, though?
Yeah. What do you mean, make it
usually
up?
It does.
Yeah, it always does.
Generally, it does?
Yeah.
It always does.
No, not always.
Pretty much.
It can pop up from the south or the north.
But seldom,
rarely does
but,
it come
but
from
it doesn't almost, go east to west ever?
No, I don't think it ever goes east to west. I don't know.
Is it because the earth is rotating?
Why does the water go down the toilet like this? I don't know. It just does.
because there's a hole and then you...
Huh?
Stuff
clockwise versus Keep counterclockwise.
Where's Greg Fields
no,
when we need
it
him?
It just does is the answer. I think there's
no,
an
no. There's a better answer, but I'm telling you, you can trust your friend. Rain does not go east to west on the radar.
All not right. normally.
Look, anytime you make a declarative statement, you know my first thought is to call
challenge
you,
it.
Call
yes.
your bluff.
Whereas my kids just nod their head and go back to coloring. I wish you would do that.
They believe anything. All right, time for what we call wacky audio bag sports audio. Do we have an open?
And now, sports audio.
All right, let's judge if this is funny or not. This is a Pittsburgh Steeler fan on The Price is Right. Drew Carey from Cleveland is taking bids on a certain item. Okay?
Uh-huh.
That's where we pick it up.
Okay.
On the ticket.
$2,500.
Leslie.
$1,450.
Carmen.
$2,700.
$2,700. Michael.
$69.
$69.
That's the Steeler fan.
$69.
Like, we say 69 100 times a day on the show and don't get this kind of reaction.
Man, Drew Carey.
Does the public love it this much?
Drew Carey has a very infectious laugh.
What?
That, that was? Go back. It was a...
All right.
Actual retail price, $999. Michael.
And he won.
He's wearing a Steelers jersey.
Hey, Michael, for the show. This is Michael Bummer. He's actual name, Michael Bummer. We were talking at the commercial break. And Michael, you're a gynecologist from Pittsburgh.
That's true, Drew. From Pittsburgh.
From Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. And if you're not laughing right now, something's wrong with you. What do we have for Dr. Bummer, Rich?
How about a new jean?
Oh, yeah!
Dr. Bummer, the gynecologist.
When's the last time you watched...
Who bid $69.
Who bid $69.
When's the last time you watched Price is Right?
Not in the Drew Carey era. What? Drew Carey era. That used to be a mainstay in the college cafeteria.
Oh, without a doubt.
In the late morning, you don't have a class, so let's go get a couple bowls of Captain Crunch and watch some Price is Right.
I used to watch SportsCenter 4 or 5 times, like the early morning SportsCenter that they just reran. For some reason, I'd watch it over and over.
Weren't you doing an experiment to make sure they never changed?
Price is
like
Right.
It's the exact same episode. They didn't try to sneak in some Clippers highlights.
Price is Right, then Yo! MTV Raps in there somewhere.
That's a busy morning you had, sir.
Then would work in a little class.
In a poncho.
I wonder how today's college must be so internet-driven, though. I don't think I would have liked having the internet, because I don't think I would have left my dorm room if I knew that kind of porn existed back in college.
Like, are they kind of toothing as they're having their breakfast in the cafeteria with their iPod and their...
Do they call it the calf? Because it's too taxing to say cafeteria?
Yeah, the calf was going down when I was in school.
I'm
the calf.
Toothing in the calf?
Really? Yeah.
Wow.
Let's go to the calf.
I don't think we ever said calf.
Dude, it's really raining.
Or the rhea.
I mean, it's not a small mist anymore. It's coming down.
We might consider pulling out the tarp, which I'm sure we have.
It's not raining here.
Well.
Crystal clear.
But you know what? You know what I've always known? Weather moves from east to or west to east.
There you
so,
go. Don't get it wrong.
All right. It really ruins it, doesn't it? All right. Here's a very topical bit.
Now, here's another one, Dan, I have for you. Can't explain why this one happens either, but the sun goes east to west. Rain west to east, sun east to west.
Well,
I don't have an explanation for either.
So that means the Earth is rotating west to east, right?
Yes.
So I've always wondered this. How come a plane flight...
So the sun isn't actually moving, let's be clear.
But if your Earth is rotating...
It's not?
Well, it really is, but on a larger scale.
Oh.
It's moving throughout the universe,
right? It's moving
right?
up and
it doesn't
down.
Just, it's not the center of the
universe.
Right,
I think it has
down.
Some cables that kind of hold it in place.
Oh, really? Yeah. How come when the Earth rotates this way, so it's rotating west to east, because uh-huh. that makes the sun go that way, right?
Right.
How come when you take a plane flight, shouldn't an East Coast to West Coast plane flight be faster? Because the Earth is rotating under you?
I think gravity still
and
is.
And you're over it,
somewhere.
But... The jet stream actually moves the other way. So if you take a West Coast to East Coast flight, that's faster.
And that's why the rain goes west to east.
Not only do we provide sports commentary, we also teach a science class.
We're so smart.
Welcome.
All right, so swine flu. We all hear the swine flu? You ever
yeah,
hear
yeah,
that?
Swine
okay.
flu. Yeah, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Thank
it's
you
in
for
the
supporting.
It's in the news.
What?
Well, apparently it was in the news back in, what is this from, Bob? The late 70s? This Packer bit?
1976, Dan.
All right. Dude, it is downright pouring.
There will be no baseball practice.
Like, so are we supposed to drive to Dallas?
I don't think so.
And let this follow? Okay. Thank you. Thank you for confirmation on what I was thinking.
I think you're off the hook.
All right. Back in the 70s, apparently, there was a swine flu scare as well. And the Packers wanted to do their part in helping the public be educated about the swine flu. So here is a little educational video produced by the Green Bay Packers back in the late 70s.
Good.
Johnny Gray and Steve Luke of the Green Bay Packers. They're called the Hit Brothers.
You know what, Johnny? There's only one thing I can think of that hits harder than us.
What can that be?
The swine flu. It can knock you flat.
So what's the defense for it, huh?
Like our philosophy. You got to hit it before it hits you.
You mean a shot?
Yeah.
You got yours?
You better believe it. If swine flu wants to challenge me, I'm ready.
Oh, me too, brother. Me too.
Get the swine flu shot. Time is running out.
Now, did he slap his bare butt cheek when he said, I'm ready?
Oh, they gave him some fives there.
Ah.
That was the great Johnny Gray. So random.
I didn't even know there was a swine flu of the 70s.
The swine flu hit Green Bay in 76 and is just getting down here.
Well, doesn't swine flu move north to south, really?
Because of the jet stream.
Or wait
right.
a second, what about Mexico? Doesn't that throw that theory off because of the jet stream?
Well, once it gets all the way south, it bounces.
Oh, it bounces back?
Yeah.
Because
it's made
what
of rubber.
Goes down must come up?
There you go. There's another science truth that we've just worked in.
I mean, dude, the weather right now. Are we going to follow this cloud to Dallas?
Yes.
Or are we going to? I'm just warning.
There's nothing
you know
but
how,
sunshine
like,
and happiness in Dallas right now.
The meteorologist will warn the umpires, look, half hour out, there's going to be a big storm there. Can we warn the commissioner here and say, look, you might not want the hard line to be broadcasting outside?
I think the commissioner is dead set on getting practices in because the last eight have been canceled.
I'm looking at the radar now, and it seems to me that the rain is moving from west to east.
Hmm. Thank you, Donovan. I'm surprised we didn't need the breaking news sounder for that.
I found that happens often. All right, in our final piece of sports audio today, in our sports audio bag.
Donovan Lewis has just learned.
Text message.
All right, this is a Dutch
TV
show. Where, if you speak Dutch, where are you, Bob?
The Netherlands, Dan.
The Netherlands. Good.
Deutschland.
So Bob Knight is over there. Cashing in on the Bob Knight name. And
wait a minute.
Doing
wearing a big bonnet with
wait
wooden shoes.
Where's Holland in all this, then?
All right. Bob Knight is in Holland.
Summering.
And teaching them about basketball. And he's doing some basketball camps.
No, I think he's in the Netherlands. Forget it.
All right. So now he goes to the Netherlands. And some Netherlandian...
You got it. The Dutch.
Interview Bob Knight. And if you only get to talk to Bob Knight once in your life, and you're only meeting him now today, and you only have a couple of minutes with him, you might just pull from your Rolodex the chair-throwing incident.
Yeah.
So they did.
And that seems incredibly reasonable because he's a worldwide celebrity, and, you know, there's a lot of coaches that have won a lot of games. I like Bob Knight, but he has to understand that
this is
most people
a common
know,
thing.
The reason my mom, the reason Doodlebug knows who Bob Knight is not his charming personality or his ability to break down a 2-3 zone. It's the fact that he's the dude who threw the chair.
It wasn't when he was doing visits at your house?
No.
When you were a senior in high school? All right, so.
He's promising my mom that he's going to make me go to class.
I'm going to take care of Bob.
So, and you, if you've YouTubed him, you see that over the years he's worked a bit. In fact, he's done it with us on our show about he's got a whole routine worked up, how he was just tossing a chair to a little old lady who didn't have a place to sit. And
right.
He's really worked his routine around this thing. So it would not be uncommon for someone to ask Bob Knight this question about the chair and have him give a funny answer, and we move on. Well, Bob Knight, especially, I guess when he was visiting Dutchland, they asked him about it, and he gives an answer I guess I wouldn't have expected.
All right.
All right, here you go.
Want een bullebak kan hij zijn. Dit fragment ging de wereld over. Het fameuze stoelincident. Knight is het niet eens met de scheidsrechters en uit dat zo. En als we hem er nog eens naar vragen, is het weer helemaal mis.
Let's understand one thing, okay? Yeah, yeah. So you people make too much bullshit out of that, yeah, all right? Yeah. I threw a chair once. Yeah. You know how many games I won?
Yeah.
Over 900.
Yeah, I did.
Let's talk about the 900 games rather than the one chair. How's that?
Yeah. Does it still upset you if I ask this?
It does, because I think it's ridiculous.
So
here's the thing, too. We've talked to him, and he never wants to talk about his wins. Never wants to talk about winning 900. Don't talk about that stuff, I tell you.
How many levels of comedy are in this thing, though? Because I want to say my favorite part, it's close. But as I look at my scorecard, my favorite part is Knight just cussed at you four times, and then you ask, does it upset you when I ask you about
this? Genius.
Oh, actually, no. I feel quite...
This is how I normally talk, dude.
Vragen, is het weer helemaal mis?
Let's understand one thing, okay? Yeah. So you people make too much bullshit out of that, all right?
Yeah.
I threw a chair once.
Yeah.
You know how many games I won?
Yeah.
Over 900.
Yeah, I did.
Let's talk about the 900 games rather than the one chair. How's that?
Yeah.
Because
it still upsets you if I ask?
It does, because I think it's ridiculous.
All right.
Love it. Brilliant.
So there's Bob Knight in the world of Dutch.
That's a lot of sports in that sports audio bag.
In Dutchland. And that is a sports audio bag from your friends Bob and Dan, who are hoping that we're not going to be driving in the rain today. How about that?
In case you were wondering, they did man up and go all the way to Dallas for practice, and the rain mostly missed Griggs Field, though the conditions definitely did encourage the ants to come out and... I got bit. It was awesome. Although something that I would suggest that you avoid if you have the chance. Next, we have an expedition here to find some audio twinsies. It's something that Dan's been compiling for a while and something that they plan on continuing in the future. So we wouldn't want you to miss out on this great stepping stone to a semi-regular segment. So to make sure that you get all the information that you need to keep following the show, Dan McDowell.
It's time once again for Bad Radio Reports, spanning the globe to bring you everything you need to know to survive in our complex and ever-changing world. Ignore it, and you could die. And now, your Bad Radio Reports correspondents, Bob Sturm,
yes.
Dan McDowell,
me.
And Donovan Lewis.
But where's Gerbs at?
All right, this week's reports is not a report on a documentary or something that we have seen. This is one that's original material. So what I'm saying is there's a chance that you're going to hear it right here. All right, and what this is about, all right, you guys stop this conversation. I need to talk to you. Or have it on the air. Did you screw up Bob's lunch order?
We're not going to blame anybody. Go ahead.
Send him back.
What's good? I'll eat whatever they bring.
I'd send him back just because it's fun. All right. What we're going to do today, a little music to talk over maybe. Always feels better when I think of Kip Dynamite. What we're going to talk about today, Bob, Donovan, Tom, Groobs, and Seabass, is I guess we need to rank in order what is more of a separated at birth in the audio capacity, okay?
Okay.
And over the past few months, we've received some email help like, hey, that sounds like blank. Blank sounds like blank. Exhibit A is, hey, Bob's mom sounds like that wiener poopy lady.
Poor mom.
Who's the wiener poopy lady? How long is the news report, Gerbs?
1:10.
Oh, perfect. Let's tell you who the wiener poopy lady is, okay? This is a news report we received, I think, maybe last winter or a couple of years ago. Well, just sit and listen to the lady featured in this news story.
It was sitting on that cement right there.
For about a year, Jean Mansell has cherished her cement Jesus statue, an heirloom from her late uncle.
There was footprints behind it and footprints in front of it.
But Thursday morning, Jean walked outside only to find that Jesus was gone.
My husband got a phone call in a real graspy voice over the phone saying, check your mailbox.
In the mailbox, a ransom note.
The note basically said they were holding Jesus for ransom.
The note reads, "We are holding Jesus ransom until you clean up the poopy from your wieners, and trust us, we see you take your wieners for long walks without picking up their poopy in our yards. This has upset us dearly, so please clean up all the wiener poopy if you want to see Jesus unharmed."
It has to be a young person, because they put these little lines next to the word Jesus. No adult's going to waste their time doing that. And referring to wiener poopy, my gosh.
All right. You heard that lady right there, and I think I found another one in there, it sounds like. Hold on. Okay, did that lady, you have her fresh in your mind.
What part of the country is she from? She sounds upper Midwest as well.
I think that story was maybe from Michigan.
Yeah, that
maybe
sounds right.
Maybe Chicago,
that
I don't know.
That sounds right.
All right, well, here's Bob's mom from being in studio with us a few weeks ago. Right?
Technology.
Yeah. And you know, wait a minute. Bob thought when we were young, everything was in black and white.
Right.
Yeah.
He means the world.
All right, got her in your mind? Along with?
It has to be a young person, because they put these little lines next to the word Jesus.
A little bit. Maybe a sister.
No adult's going to waste their time doing that.
Maybe a cousin.
And referring to wiener poopy? My gosh.
If you called Bob's family reunion, though, and she answered the phone, you would not be surprised. You'd say, oh, yeah.
She's from the Big Ten somewhere.
Okay, now... Just listening to that, though, play the beginning of the wiener poopy news story, and then have the news story from Alabama leprechauns. It sounds like the same guy might be doing that.
It was sitting on that cement right there.
For about a year, Jean Mansell has cherished her cement Jesus statue.
Let's hear this.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton
community. Yeah. A little bit?
Yeah, cousins.
All right. Keep those rankings in your head.
All right.
What you think sounds like what more?
Curiosity.
I think the two brothers sound more so far than Mrs. Sturm and...
They're brothers?
The Wiener Poopy. They might be first cousins.
They might be brothers from another mother, though.
Maybe.
Let's not
Are you saying they're
out.
Black?
They both sound black to me.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Well,
I
remember
I
for sure.
Like
we know the leprechaun guy is a brother.
Yeah, we knew
yeah,
that.
That other guy sounded like a brother also.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, hey, I don't know black.
I have brother Dar.
Like you know black.
Right.
All right.
Wiener poopy.
Curiosity.
Exhibit Please. 2. In. Hey, Lisa, how's it going?
Oh. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Sorry about that.
Nice dress. Nice outfit.
You're welcome.
Lisa. All right.
Boy, she ran out of here quick.
That's she okay. Did. That's playing hard to get. All right, exhibit 2, or maybe 3 now, is the emails that said when we would have TC on the air, hey, TC sounds like John Daniels, GM of the Rangers.
Really?
And that's what I thought. Really? All right, let me play a little TC for you.
There's a kid in my class where we were supposed to switch papers whenever we were grading papers, and I thought it'd be funny if I wrote TC Pothead Fleming, and he took that to mean that, you know, I was a pothead, when in fact, you know, I'd never seen it in my life, so he came up to me the next day and showed me some joints, said, let's go after school, and...
The one hitter would be right in the coat pocket or something like that? Is that how it worked?
I was pretty paranoid, but I didn't really know what to do with that paranoia. Like, I was afraid of getting caught, but I didn't really know how to avoid it.
All right. Don't know? Let's listen to John Daniels.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Yeah.
I guess I didn't hear this story, and I'm now interested, and I know that's not the point. But did his teacher see that on his
I
paper?
I think it was
and
a friend, was a friend. In front of him.
Okay.
A buddy saw it and said, oh, good, he's in the pot too. Yeah.
All right.
All right, so you got a little... Mm-hmm. TC in your head, which you probably always do, but now so do people that don't deal with them on a daily basis. Here's John Daniels.
Obviously, we went into the offseason with a lot of internal free agents, some of which we had at the beginning of the year, and that was a calculated risk that we went in saying, hey,
I evaluated this. He was out of ticket stock with
wow.
us.
Wow.
Not even close.
Yeah.
But you think it's close?
Yeah, actually. I do.
I do, too. I think he was a ticket stock, and he was a little amped up. I think the John Daniels in studio or on phone is a little more reserved and TC-ish.
Some of which,
I just,
you know,
but there's so much more command. He has more command of his pitches.
But he's at ticket stock and he's on stage. I felt I was evaluating this. All right, listen to how it ends.
We weren't willing to go there for him. But, you know, it left us with some holes, but also left us with some flexibility and opportunity to fill them. And I'm excited about the guys we brought in, Gagne, McCarthy, Catalanato, Loft. And it's a nice mix of veteran presence, productivity, with some guys whose future is ahead of them.
When he stumbles a little bit, it sounds like TC.
All right, here's a little more TC.
That one didn't get a whole bunch of buzz, but there was definitely several picks where people would either say,
a little closer,
and
yeah,
it was pretty much all, everyone would be in agreement of, great pick. That was a great pick.
I think if Tom Hicks got on the phone and asked what was going on in the office today and TC answered.
Imagine TC in about 8 to 10 years. He would sound a lot like Brad Daniels.
He would tell Tom Hicks, that's a ridiculous plan.
All right, so there's Exhibit 3.
All right.
That's awesome.
I think they're similar, but I don't think they're nailing it yet. All right, a couple quick phone calls before I go to our final exhibit. Warren, cell phone?
Has anyone noticed that PJ Carlissimo on the TNT broadcast sounds exactly like Super Dave Osborne?
You're absolutely right.
I need to get that one.
I feel like he should be sitting next to Larry David or something.
Yeah, really Super Dave and the Larry Curb Your Enthusiasm era.
Doesn't PJ sound like he's still got Sprewell hanging off his neck?
yeah.
Like that's his necklace?
It certainly sounds like
he's throw lozenge or something, yeah.
There's been neck damage done.
Mark, cell phone.
Hey, I've always thought that George Dunham sounded like Jack from Jack in the Box.
My dad has thought that for the longest time, too.
Really?
Yes.
Do we have any Jack?
I think so. Just a sec.
I think we do, too. In fact, I think...
You have the mini sirloin burger?
You know what we have? We have...
That's what I want to hear.
TC will be interested in this. He brought in this audio years ago. It may not be in the ENCO yet. But when the guy from the Jack in the Box commercial was on Arrested Development, or... It's really weird, but there's a Arrested Development where it's the same guy. And you can't watch the scene because it's the Jack in the Box guy.
Oh, it's the actual same guy, not a guy that sounds like him?
Well, it's not the guy with the...
With the head?
Yeah.
But it's the guy?
Here, he's running in there now, even as we speak. We'll see if he can find it here on the floor.
No, TC saying it's the Whataburger guy.
It's the Whataburger guy. All right, forget it then.
A Whataburger guy was on Arrested Development?
Yeah.
But Jack in the Box guy sounds like Jubb?
Right. Anybody confused yet?
I've never thought that, but... I'm willing to.
I can kind of hear it. I'm trying to find something right now, but my dad has long held that claim.
Really?
Swear to God.
All right, here might be a good one. Tony, you're on the ticket.
Okay, work with me on this one. Give Rain Man some energy and hockey knowledge, and tell me this isn't Brendan Morrow. Yeah, we had a good form check, and you know, my knee's recovering fine. I'm telling you,
I'm going to look into that.
On the AM dial, let me put that way, on the AM dial.
With a little scratchiness behind it.
I still think Brendan Morrow is Toby from HR on The Office. And now even Brendan thinks so. That's what's great about that, is when we told him, he then went and looked into it, and now he can't deny it.
Yeah. All right, and now let's get to one that I alleged a long time ago. And in fact, when I alleged this, you know how our ADD together as a show branches off. It branched off into many, many segments about something else. So my allegation was the president on 24 this year sounds like Mrs. Claus.
Oh.
I think you started with she looks like Doubtfire, but I think we started to say, does it sound like Doubtfire? So for a second, let me just play you a little Doubtfire.
Geez, you're big for a lady. You could play for the 49ers.
Well, I was a fullback, but that's European football, dear.
Soccer?
Yes, you play soccer too?
Yeah.
Oh, isn't that amazing? Yes, I was captain of the women's team. We won 3 university championships. Oh, but that was decades ago. Yeah, but I was more disciplined back then. I always put my studies ahead of my athletics. I'm sure you're the same way. I'm sure you've got all your homework done already.
Okay.
All right, but you never thought that really sounded like
no,
the president,
no,
did
not
you?
At all. No, my point was it looked like a dude in drag.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, I also thought, does the president sound like Mrs. Claus? That was my big thing, that I know she sounds like somebody I'm very familiar with, because who doesn't watch the Christmas specials over and over, or who hadn't throughout their life? Donovan?
I have, yes.
Community?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
We like Santa Claus.
I just have white Santa?
Sure.
Really?
It's
okay.
The only one that's available.
All right, so I checked out. First, I had Rudolph. I own Rudolph, so I went to that DVD right away, but it didn't seem right.
Papa, you haven't touched a morsel. I'll have to take this suit in. Eat.
I'm busy, Mama. It's almost Christmas.
Who ever heard of a skinny Santa? Eat.
Dude, that sounds like her.
You think that sounds like her?
That sounds like the president from 24
to
me.
You think so?
Yes.
All right, well, let's play you a little president from 24.
All right.
Jack Bauer and Agent Walker are on their way to a possible location for him.
Have they found out anything that would give us an idea of the target or a timetable?
No, nothing actionable, not yet. Madam President, Jonas Hodges was just killed.
What? How?
Car bomb, as he was leaving FBI.
What else do they know? Are there any suspects? Tim, get on top of this. I want to know exactly how this happened.
Yes, ma'am.
Yeah, when she gets ramped up. By the way, could we...
Yeah, when she gets fired up.
Could we call her every episode and tell her somebody's been killed? I love that. And then her disbelief is really
how?
The best part, because it's now happened 23 consecutive hours.
She can't believe it.
And she still is shocked when the phone rings and it's bad news.
All right, let me...
Jack Bauer and Agent Walker on their way to a possible location.
Listen to her.
Have they found out anything that would give us an idea of the target? What else do they know? Are there any suspects? Tim, get on top of this. I want to know exactly how this happened.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. I needed her voice in your head for a second. Now listen to a little of this. I think I nailed it.
How do I know so much about Santa? Well, I'm Mrs. Claus. Long ago, before you were living.
That sounds just like
not
her.
Not yet Christmas.
Yes.
Just like her.
A bit exaggerated.
I can't give you the very
is that a year without Christmas?
This is a year without a Santa Claus. That's the Mrs. Claus I was looking for.
And you nailed it.
I think that really did nail it. Let me try to illustrate that again for you here.
Olivia, we feel confident that he will if we can assure him that these people will believe that his suicide attempt actually succeeded. We need to make him disappear, which is why I need the protection agreement. There's no other way he'll talk.
Designate him an enemy combatant, then treat him like one.
We don't do that, not in this administration. And it's not as if he's getting a free pass. He'll be under federal supervision for the rest of his life.
That's right.
Talk about Santa.
Okay. And we need Santa Claus.
So we don't do that, right? Not in this administration.
Not at the North Pole.
No, doctor, it's not just presents, and you know it.
That's her.
What about all that Christmas spirit and goodwill?
That is her.
Totally.
You nailed it.
I think we did nail it.
So last night you're watching Christmas shows?
Well, I ordered that one online. That's why it's taken me this long to get this
you
done.
You ordered it online. That's awesome,
well,
dude.
The local stores don't have it. They say, like Best Buy or whatever, they carry it.
Wrong time of year.
But
during
not in
December.
May, yes.
Right. Like, because, okay. I guess that's the problem these days, right? The spirit of Christmas leaves us.
It dies.
Until what? The day after Halloween nowadays. Then they
or 4th of July.
Right. So there you go. There's a little Bad Radio Reports on what sounds like what. What do we call that? Audio separated at birth? And email them in. We'll search and do another segment someday, perhaps. What were the ones I missed? Whataburger Guy?
The Jack in the Box and George Dunham.
Jack in the Box and George. All right.
We have a new series underway. On
exactly
Sports
right,
Radio
Grandpa.
13 tends to go.
So if you, P1, hear any examples of that sort of thing, just send it along to dan@theticket.com and it could be featured in an upcoming segment of Audio Soundalikes. The segment you're about to hear contains one of my favorite characters in sports, Texas Tech football coach Mike Leach. I think that if he had gone through with his initial plan of becoming a lawyer and started his own law blog and I'd stumbled on that somehow, I think I would find that interesting, too, because it's not the particular way his coach is. It's his demeanor, it's his delivery, it's his attitude, it's everything. I'm sure you've heard it all before. It's just a very compelling package, and he's taking shots here at Aggie. So that's a real marriage of awesome, Mike Leach and Offsides Aggie. So here to bring you that awesome, Dan McDowell.
All right, speaking of Tom.
Tom.
Aggie is in the news. Aggie is outraged.
Whoop! Oh, sorry.
Hiss.
Yeah.
All right, Mike Leach is at the middle of this outrage.
Who would have thought?
Because
if there's one guy who likes poking Aggie more than you.
It's Mike Leach?
It's Mike Leach.
All right, well, Let's go backwards, I guess. He said recently, I guess last Wednesday, he's shocked that a comment he made about Texas A&M Stephen McGee stirred up a hornet's nest in College Station. He's shocked. He says, quote, Mike Leach says, "The remarkable thing is, all my life I've never been upset with the Aggies one time. They get upset with me anywhere from every 4 to 6 months. However, of all the times they've gotten upset with me, our fans, or anything I've ever said, it takes a heck of a detective to find something offensive in what I had to say about the draft."
Okay? If you ask me.
Exactly. So, on Sunday, last Sunday, after the Cowboys took Stephen McGee, the former A&M quarterback, with the first pick in the fourth round.
Hey, Tom. Stephen.
Leach told a reporter from the Morning News, quote, "I'm happy for Stephen McGee. The Dallas Cowboys like him more than his coaches at A&M did."
You know, I just kind of want to say that the Aggies there didn't like him that much.
Why would Coach Sherman get upset about that?
Okay, so Leach says he can't see what the big deal is. He says, quote,
"I'm sorry if you were offended."
Right.
Well, he did say that.
Right.
On Tuesday, he said he was sorry if Aggies were offended. He also wondered aloud where Mike Sherman thought McGee should have been drafted, given Sherman's background as an NFL head coach. We'll get to that, though.
Oh, man.
We'll get to Mike Sherman's retort in a moment. Now on Wednesday, as his follow-up to "I don't know what the big deal is," he says, quote, "I've always known A&M had great players. The fact that they had the luxury to put a third or fourth round draft pick on the bench, to me, identifies what a truly great team they are. It's an honor for us at Texas Tech to have the opportunity to play them.
Oh, my.
There are numerous players on our team that will never get a look or play a down in the NFL. So you can imagine how exciting it is for me and them to go play a team the magnitude of Texas A&M and look over there on the bench and see third and fourth round draft picks."
What a jerk.
He is.
Again, he said he was sorry if Aggies were offended.
Right.
Now, Mike Sherman released a statement through A&M's Sports Information Office. He did not speak in person, but he released this written statement. He said, "There is nothing Mike Leach could ever say that would offend me. I do find it unfortunate, however, that a college coach feels the need to question the handling of a player by a staff, particularly without any knowledge of the facts or the extent of a player's injury. It is equally bothersome that a football coach would question the draft status of a player. That doesn't make any sense to me." Leach told, what's the AJ? Is that their newspaper?
Yeah,
the Avalanche Journal.
Right. There's all kinds of avalanches out there.
He says,
okay,
it's Avalai. He says, how can anyone not be, okay, Mike Leach, in retort to this,
okay,
says, how can anyone not be shocked that they're offended by this? How is that possible? I mean, they're the ones that keep issuing these official statements. I haven't issued an official statement. I just answer questions when someone asks me one.
Right. Oh, he should have gone become a defense attorney. Oh,
this is the greatest, man. The fact that they have the luxury to put a third or fourth round draft pick on the bench identifies what a truly great team they are.
And I love the part, my team won't get any looks in the NFL. It's great for my team to go and play a team like A&M.
He says, it's an honor for us at Texas Tech to have the opportunity to play them.
He had a very eventful draft weekend because he was also taking on Man Genius.
What did he do there?
Well, he was all mad about how he's,
shouldn't he be happy? Browns grabbed him. Harrell.
Well, but that's not the issue. The issue was that report 3 days before the draft that the Browns took him off the board, Michael Crabtree off the board. Michael Crabtree. So he walked in there and was a diva and therefore hurt his stock. So I believe Leach basically suggested that Man Genius knocked Crabtree down to number 10 in the draft. And was quick to blast Man Genius on that front.
See, I thought at the time the
he's
Browns
just bored.
Were...
He's just bored.
Who,
it's
Mike
April.
Leach?
Yes, he's got nothing better to do. So
it's Lubbock.
He doesn't have a talk radio show.
How he doesn't, I don't know.
You know what? You're right. But this is his way of just being Mike Leach.
Where he defends his guys, taking on everybody else. Everybody else are idiots. Everybody else is a bunch of idiots.
So let's
his
go guys to Aggie, though. Great. What does Aggie think about the coach whose teams have beaten A&M 7 times in the last 8 years?
Well, that's the beauty of it. He's got scoreboard. So
11-3 since 1995.
So anything that Aggie says, you know, he can always point to the scoreboard.
It's just jealousy.
Even though you sit there and say, well, you can't get a job at another school. Every time you apply at a Pac-10 school or SEC school, they go a different direction. Don't they? Don't they, Coach Leach?
Here we go.
I'm just wondering what Aggie thinks about it all.
There must be a lot of bitterness up there. A lot of bitterness building up.
All right. So
after he criticized Mangini for bad-mouthing Crabtree, then, of course, Graham Harrell shows up as a member of the Browns, which was put really Graham Harrell in a weird spot. So now everything he's asked about is his college coach against his new pro coach. And he's trying – I mean, obviously, Graham Harrell doesn't want any part of any public feud, especially with his future hanging on the line, because he's an undrafted free agent. What's he going to say?
You got to shove Leach under the bus.
Think he's going to risk that $3,000 bonus or whatever they handed him? I mean, seriously, you know, undrafted free agents, we're talking
$3,000.
$10,000 if it's a good day.
Do you think if McGee went to Tech that he would have thrown for 5,000 yards mm-hmm. and 50 touchdowns and
I
all
think
that? Really?
Yeah. McGee's younger sister would have thrown for 5,000 yards.
It's that easy, huh? Seriously. So
no, look at the line.
McGee, or would McGee's stock have even fallen more because it's such a gimmick that he just ran that?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know.
I find that interesting that Graham Harrell can go undrafted and Stephen McGee is the first pick of the fourth round.
Great
college
quarterback.
It's a fascinating
study.
If
you pull Mike Leach over, he'll tell you that Cliff Kingsbury's been screwed by the NFL. He'll tell you that B.J. Simmons was right. – I mean, just – I would imagine Mike Leach will tell you that every single quarterback he's ever put through Texas Tech can play in the NFL. They're just being typecast or blackballed or however you want to call it. And it's just, you know, it's Mike Leach being Mike Leach. He's incredibly entertaining and also incredibly self-serving all at the same time.
It's just exciting for him to go play the team, a team the magnitude of Texas A&M, and look over on the bench
and
see third and fourth round.
And then then of course the Aggies are all pulled offside and flags are thrown and we replay first down after we walk off the 5 yards. Funny stuff.
To be clear, I've got no rooting interest in local college sports. Just as a neutral observer, I think that this is an interesting clash, and I think that's a similar way to the way Bob and Dan approach it. And then you've also got Tom thrown in, which makes it very interesting. And I think it all combines to give you the sort of coverage of these events that you just won't find anywhere else. And finally, we're going to end with talk about May 14th's great game. And I'm really excited for the game because a year ago, without any internships or any other connections, I just went to the game and really had a great time in it. It's kind of a neat landmark to have the chance, as I'm going to have, to sit on the bench, and if, you know, six people in front of me have major injuries that have to be taken and hospitalized, then maybe I have a chance to play. And I know it's never cool to express positive interest thing. It's far more hip to have disinterest, and it's kind of douchey. There's no way to not sound douchey whenever you're talking about landmarks or things like that. But whatever, I'm trying to make the podcast authentic, and as excited as a person can be about something like this, I'm excited for it. It's just it's a neat thing. But anyways, the guys are previewing the game, and it's a pretty neat conversation in itself. So here to bring you that conversation, Dan McDowell.
All right, 5 till 2. Once again, Grubbs demands the spotlight turned to him.
It's always about me. Stop it. The Sinai Center for Healing brings you this segment of talk.
Choop, choop.
I've never made those noises.
All right, we're here.
You made that first noise.
We're here again.
Yeah, I have.
To talk about the great game. Good seats still available, I think. Is it sold out?
It's close.
Probably.
You better hurry and get those tickets.
You have no idea, Donovan.
I do.
Well, the tickets great game is next Thursday. We're all, you know, now that it actually stopped raining for a whole 24-hour period, I think everybody's kind of into this thing. Practice was very lively. A great practice yesterday, in fact.
It was.
I would say the best practice we've ever had for a great game. Bassick was there.
That's not saying a lot.
Bassick's great.
Bassick.
Yeah, he's organizing it.
He brings an air of legitimacy to the whole thing because he had us doing batting practice like they do in the bigs, where you go in, get five swings, another guy goes in, gets
Unless
five swings.
Unless you thought five wasn't enough for you, then you just kind of hang in there for a while.
A lot of people violated that yesterday.
There are a few people who felt that they are above the regular rules of Major League Baseball. Joining us now is one of them from the Ticket Ticker Room.
Or maybe maybe sometimes five is
a tricky
number.
I took two rounds, Holmes.
Sean took his five swings, and I said, okay, let's get the next one up. No, I'm only going to take two rounds.
Yeah, give me one more.
So because he's taking two rounds, then
he's
going to take more each round. How about this? You take three rounds then. The thing is, people who don't want to follow the rules, I'm sure that many major leaguers, Sean, probably just tell Rudy Jaramillo, no. I'm going
to
do seven swings this time because I'm only taking two.
I was trying to speed up the process, dude.
We're going around.
Seriously.
Going around.
You're trying to speed up the process.
Yeah, by taking
two
rounds.
Nothing was dragging. It was all going very well before.
It was at normal baseball speed.
Before, right. It's very slow.
Extremely slow.
Bob needs gunfights and car chases.
If your sport doesn't have car chases.
So Bob is in the outfield right next to me, and someone's taking batting practice, and Bob is yelling, boring!
Well, yeah, we need to mic up Bob.
Boring!
Baseball is boring to play.
All
I'm
right,
sorry.
Now, Seabass is a good teammate and an even better friend. I consider him a dear friend.
That's right.
But... okay, did I set that up well?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure,
that was beautiful.
Now you've disarmed him, you can say anything you want about him.
However, you know what batting practice is?
Yeah.
Not pitching practice?
No. I know where you're going, too. Because, no, listen
He's
to me.
Trying to strike guys out.
No, he makes
a Blake Bevan K after he strikes someone out.
And then his,
he has the high leg kick.
Didn't he walk over to the fence and hang the K up?
Yeah. Got some tape
throws
out.
It around the infield.
When he starts about batting practice, he turns it to third.
He's shaking off the catcher. Well, the catcher's like, "Well, I'm just standing here."
He beamed George because he thought he was crowding the play.
It's my area, Holmes.
No, seriously, Rich wanted live pitching. When he got up there, when I was throwing his session of BP, he said, "Throw live pitching. Don't throw me BP."
Yeah, here's the live audio from that. Recorded audio.
That's what I decided.
So Rich wanted live pitching. Yes. Rich didn't want batting practice. Pitching.
Right.
He wanted live pitching.
What he said.
Well, so he can strike out during live pitching?
Thank
you.
This is all.
Wow.
He's not on my team, is he?
This is all too easy,
no,
Sean. Throw something a little tougher for me to crank
out
of here.
Throw the circle change. Right.
I've cranked the last three onto 75.
Throw the slurve.
But
I'm backing this one down to 98. Good luck.
Whatever. I threw a lot of BP yesterday.
Listen to him.
You're
He's so
fine.
Defensive. Dude,
You're fine.
Come on.
Remember, I've
We're
made
having
it,
fun here.
I've made an alliance with you this year, Sean.
Yes, you have.
But you're on different teams.
That's weird.
That's okay. I'm not going to...
I like it.
I'm not going to put any of my baseball bad voodoo on you.
So not calling him Koufax this year.
Or getting his autograph right before you're at bat.
Did you do that?
Yeah.
Yes.
He was nice enough to sign me a ball.
Yeah, I wrote I heart you on it. So
it was nice.
That's where we really came together.
Really?
I'm
right there?
Really happy he didn't strike me out. That was my only goal last year. It's my only goal this year is just don't be the guy who strikes out and has to make the walk of shame back to the dugout.
I did. I struck out last year. George.
Don't worry. I made mental notes of all those who did strike out.
You did?
Yes. Because that's my only goal. Don't strike out.
So the rosters are in, and surprise, surprise, Bob doesn't like them. Here's Bob.
They're a little one-sided again, not going to lie. I was part of the team that got run out of the yard last year. I think the final was, 10-7, but we were down
13-10.
13-10 was the final.
Okay, well, we were down considerable amounts of runs most of the game, though. They blew it open off
We scored in the first.
Cobra and Chuck.
That 10-run inning.
The game got away from us. We were down a million runs for most of the game. I think we closed late for some reason. So I expected this year that when they put the teams together, they would separate the pitching a little bit more. Because you guys had Dan. You guys had Sean Koufax.
You guys being the musers.
Yeah.
I am a muser as is Sean.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody else on the show has gone to the dark side, the hard line.
Hey, I'd rather be on the better team, but they didn't put me there.
Are you saying that because Donovan's on the hard line?
What, Donovan as a pitcher?
No, as being dark. Thanks, Sean.
I'm just trying to clarify what Dan said.
We scored five.
Phil also.
We scored five in the first. They scored 10 in the second.
Okay.
Wow. That thing really settled down after that then, didn't it?
Yeah. And then after that, it was just
the Musers scored 10 in the second last year?
Oh, yeah. That's when Bob sat down while Corby was pitching. I had a nice picnic
in the outfield.
And I'm standing right next to him as we're just talking while Corby's walking.
So what do you really feel is wrong? The pitching?
Well, you guys have all the pitchers, and then I'm very concerned with the—
What about Craig Rosengarten, dude?
Yeah. Well, Craig, I think, will admit on some level that he is our best pitcher merely by default, that he can actually find the catcher.
And compare it to Corby and Chuck.
He won't admit that.
He doesn't, they're the only three that pitched last
year. Surely he doesn't fancy himself as Dwight Gooden.
I guess you haven't talked to him lately.
He's a fine teammate.
Is he cocky right now about
I think he has a little bit of a strut when he's out on the field.
Does he have fungus on his shower shoes?
I've heard things.
Let's discuss Craig Rosengarten's demeanor on the field.
I'm not saying he's cocky, but he talks about it a lot off the air. A lot.
Does he?
A lot. He references it almost every time I'm around.
References his ability to
pitch? Not his ability, just the game itself.
But if you reference the game itself, then you're asking people.
Yeah, he wants you to talk about his 5+.
All right, well, here's his five tools.
He didn't go five innings. He went 4 2/3. It's right here.
Well, he saved the game for us.
He did.
Because once he got in there, he was throwing that ephus so well that... Well, he was. And I thought he would admit it. I hope I'm not offending him.
What's the guy's name in Major League Baseball?
Wasn't it a Perez?
Dude, it was in the 20s. So Perez isn't playing.
Who brought the ephus back then when we were kids or in high school?
Look up ephus on Wiki.
So, yeah, pitching is an issue, but also you guys dominate the 20-somethings, I think, with your Chase Williams.
Chase Williams is a guy
who's also going to throw smoke.
I like Chase Williams a lot. He's a good teammate. I consider him a close friend.
He's so pretty.
But
could you identify him before yesterday?
But you want to talk about somebody who struts around the field as if they...
He better be really good because he carries himself as A-Rod.
And he had the really tight Dwight Howard shirt on yesterday.
When you walk up to the guy who wore a tank top to show his guns, and you say, hey, where do you play? And he says, pitcher, shortstop, I bat fourth.
Then, is that what he said?
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, but you guys have Sean and Chase both pitching. I'm very excited about the...
Is he going to pitch, really?
Well,
I don't know if he can.
After he played shortstop and after he cranked a couple off the building outside of left field.
He can hit.
Then he went over and pitched.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Well, I don't know. I don't know, but that concerns me.
Koufax and Drysdale.
Jake, the hardline intern, I don't know what he can do, but he looks really college athletic. I mean...
He said that baseball is the one sport that he hasn't gotten.
Or that he doesn't get.
Asked him what position he was going to play. He said, I'm a power forward.
Let's put it this way. He looks the part. So that's concerning.
This year's candidate to be the Brad LaRocque of the year. Brad LaRocque, for those who don't know, and you probably don't.
Pipes.
He's Pipes, voice of SMU, right? Now, I think.
Is he?
I think he does the PA in there.
I know he does the light switch gag at Cowboys games where they have the fan into the end zone, flip the light switch for the electric company, and see what you want, even though every single game they win the same thing, like $500 in free electricity.
Oh, really?
Yeah, but he runs that. He's like the Chris Arnold of the Cowboys.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, a few years ago, many years ago, Charity Challenge occurred every year, and he was the guy nobody saw play. He was new here.
But he was from Minnesota.
He's from Minnesota, and he really liked hockey. And
he talked a tremendous game.
Yeah, and somebody asked him, are you pretty good? He's like, yeah.
I don't mean to brag, but I'm pretty good.
Say anything, but... Yeah, just put me on the power play. Everything will be fine.
And then once...
And then he got out there, and what was it?
Bambi up on the ice.
As he needs like a folding chair to stay up, and or one of those old people walkers, you know, he's on the ice with that. This year's candidate to be that, the overhyped, but we've never really seen him at all, is Eric Hood. the great engineer, a wonderful engineer.
Really?
So if you want an engineer.
Well, he is one of the few guys we did get in the draft.
Right. He's in shape. He doesn't appear to be obese or anything.
You know, his history. His history is that he actually played baseball at the University of Hawaii.
Oh, nice. See?
That's
really?
That's his story.
Catcher, second baseman.
He says that he was a scrub, that he never really played a lot.
Scout
but
team?
He was,
yeah, but people asked.
He made the roster.
When they asked him what he plays, he said, what position? He wrote all. You know what I mean?
Oh, catcher, you know, that's the whole catcher, cocky thing.
Shortstop.
Because Joe Lesci said the same thing. Are you going to put him everywhere?
And he was last year's candidate that no one really knew or saw. But,
right.
But you had an idea.
Well, and Eric Hood, though, that's I believe the hard line is really counting on him for a tremendous game.
He looks better out there.
But, okay, here's the list of 20.
He's good?
He looks good.
He is good. Yeah.
Here's the list of 20-somethings that all looked the part that really concerned me, and they're all on Team Musers.
Well, we need to trade for him.
Chase, Seabass, Mike Soroy, who also looks the part.
See, he looks like Bassick. Does that mean anything?
Nah, he looks like a power-hitting catcher.
But he caught
He's
all
a
seven.
Very, very good catcher behind the plate.
His stick?
You know what? Having Mike Soroy as a catcher makes you feel a lot better than when Killer was slated.
Yeah, so it's Soroy, Seabass, Chase Williams, and Jake the hardline intern who looks the part as well.
Yeah, he's lanky.
And we don't have any 20-somethings that look the part, do we? We have Gribble and Phil.
T.C.
Yeah, we have T.C.
Yeah.
He's our 20-something.
Right there.
He's the stud we're going to ride to victory.
I'm a little bit upset about
T.C.
you guys getting T.C.
All right, let's work a trade. We want Chase.
Chase
well,
TC.
That's not equitable.
Oh.
I'll trade
and
you
future considerations.
I'll trade you someone else to hold your equipment for because I need TC over there. He's a sounding board, and
he'll hold your keys.
He'll carry my
and
stuff.
Your spit cup.
Yeah, he'll hold my cell phone. Also, I can give him my money, and I know he won't steal it.
Is Rip Sewell the name you're looking for, Dan?
Rip Sewell threw, I think, the Ephus pitch to Ted Williams or some Hall of Famers in the All-Star game, and I think it was Ted Williams, and Ted Williams hit it out.
Oh, I'm very concerned.
There's baseball history.
I'm very concerned. It looks like a big win for Team Musers, although I enjoy already Junior claiming the fix is in and sandbagging, and I bet if I would imagine he's said that Vegas has placed the odds as hardline, a six-run favorite.
I think George is in the camp of people who are mad Corby gets all the drops played on him, so George has guaranteed he'd be the MVP.
He's really over the top. And this is just like 3 weeks after he did his whole Bob's T.O. bit, and now he's claimed he's winning the MVP before the game starts. What's more T.O. than that?
Schlotsky's Team Musers?
What? The fact that I don't want to run his inbounds play? That is T.O., but claiming you're going to be the MVP?
Bud Light Team Hardline? It's Thursday, May 14th. You know, what time does it start? Do we know?
4 a.m.
7.
Oh.
You're not much help.
7 p.m.?
Yes, sir.
7 p.m. start next Thursday. Go to theticket.com for all the details, except start time, I think. Someone emailed me. They couldn't get the start time. And if you want seats, 972-334-1993. Very inexpensive, I understand.
Isn't 4 a.m. a weird time to start the game, though?
We're not starting at 4 a.m.,
like the Alaskan League.
It's okay.
We're not starting at 4 a.m. It's next Thursday, so please come on out and party.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
7 p.m.
Good time will be had by all.
Yes, Bob.
My goodness, man.
It's all 7 p.m., the very rare 7 p.m. start.
It's 2:10 on the ticket.
It is not actually 2:10. Do not doubt your clock. I just couldn't cut off the time check because they were talking over it. But that's the podcast for this week. Don't forget to hit up YouTube and look for that video that Eric put so much wonderful time into. And if you get the chance, I might suggest maybe tuning in from noon to 3 on weekdays, where bad radio plays regularly. And no matter what, I hope to see you back next week when we bring you again the Bad Radio Podcast. See ya.